Carolina, and this recording is from one of our church services. For more information, visit our website at churchofphiladelphia.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome to the Church of Philadelphia, our online experience. We thank you as we take this opportunity, and we say thank you for allowing us the opportunity to come into your homes on this morning. We appreciate you, and we honor God for you allowing us to be able to bring the word of the Lord on this morning. Amen. So we ask that you grab the kiddos, grab everybody that's available, whether you're seated around the kitchen table, whether you are actually in the living room, whatever the case may be, just come together. We ask that you have your hearts open, your minds open, but more importantly, have your ears open, that you can hear the word. And so the word of God, this engrafted word of God, can go down on the inside and it can change us from the inside to the outside. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to jump over to the book of Judges, and we're going to start at chapter number 4, and we're going to start at verse number 1. Definitely want to say thank you, MK, for you don't even understand how you help. I was saying it really wasn't putting two to two together, but thank you, you know, as we discuss this with you guys, this new current sermon series. So thank you for your help, MK. So we are excited because we are starting a brand new sermon series on this morning, It is entitled Mashup. It's called Mashup. And hopefully, if I do my job well, this is going to be a very interesting sermon series. Amen. And so the concept of this mashup is, we understand a mashup is something that's created by two or more things that are combined, or two or more elements that are combined from different sources. So the concept of this, we'll be talking about, you know, this collision or this conversion of life, all the different roles or all the different hats that we have been forced to wear because of the outside pandemic known as COVID. I was now forced this collision or this conversion in life. Not only that, the other interesting thing that we'll actually be doing, and I want you guys to bear with us. Notice I said us, not myself, but bear with us. This mashup will also consist of various voices that you will hear. So it will not just be myself who will actually be preaching or teaching, but it is going to be a slew of us. And so I pray that you are open, because it is going to be a mixture or a combination of various voices, and not just the voices of these different individuals, but also the anointing that God has placed upon their lives. And so I hope you are excited to see what God is going to do. Definitely excited to hear what God is going to speak through us, you know, as he uses us as vessels, because again, it will be the words of the Holy Spirit coming through the mouths of us as vessels. Amen. And so just want to kind of give you a heads up of what to be looking for as we start this brand new series called The Mashup. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to go to Judges chapter number 4. We're going to start at verse number 1, and we're going to throw up this decree over the word in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to throw up this decree over the word in Jesus' name. All right. And so as we're getting prepared, we're going to say this decree. It says, I decree that my ears, heart, and spirit are open to receive the engrafted word of God, which is quick, alive, and powerful, active, in a spirit of meekness. The ground of my life is fertile to nurture and grow the seed of God's word that will produce fruit in my life this week. I am a successful doer of what I will hear today, and will leave it today full of faith, love, power, wisdom, and victory. Amen. So as we jump over to the book of Judges, chapter number 4, we're going to start at verse number 1. Here begins the reading of God's holy word. It says, and the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead, and the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harhoresh of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron. In 20 years, he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Amen. Amen. So we're going to entitle this Queen Bee. Queen Bee. Amen. So just Bear with me. We're going to title this Queen Bee. I know some of y'all are familiar with, you know, the imposter that considers herself to be Queen Bee. You know, some of y'all consider yourself to be a part of her beehive. I don't know. I'm just saying, because nowadays you got Christians, so-called believers who still listen to secular music. And that might be your chick. That might be your girl. I'm just saying, but she was not the original Queen Bee. You got to understand, Deborah, whose name means bee, is the original Queen Bee. Amen. So see, you get where the title is actually coming from. Amen. And so as we gave you our definition for the word mashup, we're going to put that back on the screen. As we gave you our definition for the word mashup, mashup is defined as something created by combining elements from two or more sources. Amen. It is something created by combining elements from two or more sources. And what's taking place in the book of Judges, as the name of the book itself entails, this is about the judges of Israel. Because when you go through the different generations from Moses, you know, who walked in faith, stepped out and believed what God said, and all these different things, as he began to lead the children of Israel, was a deliverer for God, you know, to help deliver the children of Israel out from under the hand of Pharaoh and the nation of Egypt, you know, followed by the succession of Joshua, right, who succeeded Moses. And, you know, these were two men whose hearts were fixed on God. They were dedicated to following the word of the Lord, to doing things the way God had said and orchestrated within the camp of Israel. And so we know Moses never got an opportunity to enter into the promised land. Joshua took the people of God over into the promised land. And what's taking place now? Now that Moses has died and gone on, Joshua has died and gone on, the elders then come up behind Joshua, and they're actually leading the people of God. And it's while the elders are leading the people of God. And of course, we saw why Moses was actually leader and Joshua was leader. We saw the people of God had tendencies to actually rebel, complain, murmur, and all of these different things. And they would pervert the ways of God as they would chase after false gods or idol gods and find themselves falling into idol worship and things of that nature right there. So this has been an ongoing thing that was consistently happening with the children of Israel, right? So Moses has died, Joshua has died, and now the elders have soon died out. And now the children of Israel, they have not completed the task that God has given them. And the task that God had gave them was to drive out all the inhabitants, all the remaining inhabitants of the land, this promised land that God had gave to them. And so because they failed to do that without having the proper leadership, they will fall back into this place of complacency. They will fall into this place of fear, being afraid. And so the thing is, what you find out when you don't deal with the problem, and the problem or the issue is the remaining inhabitants that are still abiding in the land. When you, let's just be honest, when you fail to deal with the problem, that problem will consistently nag you. That problem will weary you. That problem will drag you down. That problem will make you feel like giving up. And for most of us, because we have not dealt with the problem or the issue, some of us, it has become easier to live with the problem rather than drive this problem out or deal with this problem head on. And that's what's taking place with the children of Israel. Rather than driving the problem, that is the other remaining inhabitants of the land, rather than driving them out like God said, it has become easier to now live with the problem. And so the thing is, this problem, that being the other inhabitants of the people, they're actually, you know, influencing. You know, if it's not through war where they dominate them, it is through this idolatrous worship where they influence the people of God, and the people of God or the children of Israel begin to follow after these false or pagan gods, and they fall into this idolatry, this false worship, worshiping idols and things of this nature, where they then pervert themselves by, you know, falling into the ways of these pagan nations, and they begin to marry outside of their own nation and all these different things. And they have been led astray. And so this problem, if you don't deal with it head on, you can see how this problem can somewhat become like in cancer, eating you or killing you softly from the inside. But thank God there was a God who's mindful of us. There was a God that who hears us. There was a God who sees us, and he's quick to rescue us. And so we see throughout the life of Moses, throughout the life of Joshua, throughout the life of the elders, as they were leading the people, as the people would rebel against God, as they would go whoring after these other gods, God was always there to rescue them when they would cry out to God. It's something about that cry when they came together, when they cried cry to the Lord. The Lord will hear their cry, and God will deliver that nation. Amen. So I'm excited about that. And again, we're talking about, we're entitling this called Queen Bee, right? And so let's jump into these scriptures. Verse number one says, it says, and the children of Israel, again, did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead, right? So one of these judges, Ehud, right? When he actually died off, the scripture lets us know that the children of Israel, they did evil in the sight of the Lord again. They did evil in the sight of the Lord again. And particularly this evil was, again, like we talked about, being rebellious towards God, or typically following after these false gods. So idol worship, so idolatry was one of the main struggles. This perverted worship was one of the main struggles that the children of Israel would consistently fall into. This was one of the main evils that they were consistently operating in. And it would take God off in such a manner. And we'll see the response of God as we move through the scripture, right? But let's look at this right here. This name, Ehud, in the Hebrew is defined as, number one, I will give thanks or praise, right? So it's defined as I will give thanks, or we're calling that praise. Or definition number two for the name is undivided or united, or simply put, unity. We're calling it unity. So here is our mashup. When Ehud has now died up, we now have a mashup of the children of Israel where there is no praise and there is no unity. Amen. And see, I don't have to tell you what would happen if you forget to give God praise, or if you allow the circumstances of life to steal your praise or to silence your praise. Because see, some of you don't have a hallelujah in your mouth anymore. You don't have a thank you, Jesus, anymore. You sure don't have a dance in your feet anymore. So your praise is just stifled. It's just become silent. If you honest enough, you right there in your home, nobody can see. You can raise your hand. You can go ahead and be free right there in your home. See, it just might help you for the fact that you right in your home and you by yourself. You ain't got to worry about nobody seeing, because some of y'all are not even on camera like that. You understand what I'm saying? So it should be easy for you to raise your hand and let God know that, God, I'm being accountable. I'm taking responsibility, God. I don't have my praise like I once had my praise, God. It used to be, God, I could just bless you for the small things, the little things, God. I didn't have to have a huge testimony. I didn't have to have a promotion. I didn't have to have a raise, God. Well, the fact that the time that I would think about, you know what? God has kept me closed in my right mind. I had a thank you, Jesus. I got activity in my limbs. I had a thank you, Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? Things like that. I got good health in my body. I had a thank you, Jesus. You know, when I had a headache and I prayed and the headache, it faded away. I had a thank you, Jesus, because God was mindful of me, and I had a reason to give God praise. The fact that I had breath in my body, I had a reason to give God praise. You understand? So we see there is no praise when you go after idol gods. The idol God would then stifle your praise. It would take your praise. It would cause your praise to just become silent. There is no more praise at this particular point. They don't have no praise, and they seem to be, they've forgotten the miracles that God has performed over the generations, how God brought them from under, you know, the mighty hand of Pharaoh, and God proved that he was stronger. He was God. He was the almighty God. Not just that, but how he took them through the Red Sea. All these different things that God has done. When they would willfully go after other gods, we see how God would intervene once they cried out to God, and God would deliver them, and God would save the nation. How he would bring them back to himself, how he would love on them, forgive them, you know, and draw them closer back to himself. So when you think about all of these different things that have transpired in this relationship between God, it's come to a point where the judge that God had over them has now died out. And we find the children of Israel, they don't have any praise. But in like manner, it's the second definition for his name means undivided or united, simply put, unity. Now we understand there is no unity. So there is the mashup. We don't have any praise and we don't have any unity. The truth be told, our praise is what brought some of us together, or the reason why we praise, or who we praise. That's what we have in common. For most of us, think about it, in this Christian body, you may say, if you're like me, you may say, listen, man, some of these folks, I don't have a thing in common with them. If you take Jesus out of the equation, we wouldn't talk to one another. We wouldn't sit next to one another. We wouldn't be hugging and high-fiving and, you know what I'm saying, dapping one another. We wouldn't be doing any of that. But the common denominator it is Jesus. And because we have Jesus in common, I can get down with you. I can rock with you. You understand what I'm saying? I can get next to you and praise God with you. I can dance beside you, dance for you, my dad. You understand? Bless God for you and bless God with you. Why? Because of Jesus. We understand who Jesus is and we understand why we need Jesus, right? And we're grateful for the fact that God has delivered us. And so we have praise. That is something that we have in common because of who we praise, right? But then, like we said, the other definition that his name actually means is undivided or united, simply put, talking about unity. If you take the common denominator or the common factor that is Jesus out, how much unity do we have in the body? And right now, it's not just something that you see in the body, but you see the civil unrest that is taking place around the world here, most definitely in our nation. There was just a bunch of civil unrest, you know, and all these things. And what I truly believe God uses the leader of a nation to show the heart of what that nation is, right? Don't misinterpret what I'm saying, because the Bible also tells us to pray for our leaders, spiritual and natural. But I do believe that God will use the leader to show you the heart of a nation. And right now, our nation is full of civil unrest. It is full of hatred and division. And that's the thing. I want you to keep that in mind. There is no praise. Because think about it, the church is going silent. It's become difficult for the church to actually believe God when you've got church leaders who succumb to COVID, where COVID has seemingly had the victory over some church leaders and things of this nature right there. Not just leaders, but over the ability to gather as church. It appears that COVID has had the victory because it has stopped us, from actually coming together the way we know we would like to, or the way we know that we need to, right? So it appears that COVID is victorious, or can we say winning for the moment, right? But when you understand God and you know God, you know that he is sovereign. You know that he is in control. And although it appears, and I'm using the word appears, or it looks, or it seems, when you know that God is sovereign, that he is in control, you understand COVID is not victorious. Nah, because the church, he's not going to allow the church to leave out with less power than it came in. So no, this just may be the reset that God is allowing to take place for us to get our affairs in order. You understand? Because think about it. COVID has forced most of us to be at home. Everything you do, talking about this collision of life, everything you do, you used to be, when you went to church, you got an opportunity to leave your house. When you went to work, you got an opportunity to leave your house. When you went to the gym, you got an opportunity to leave your house. When your children went to school, whether it be the car ride or them riding the bus, they had an opportunity to leave the house. Now everybody is just colliding at the home front, and you have tempers flaring because we can't seem to get away from each other. We can't seem to get off the top of one another. We just on top of each other. There is not enough room in the house to get a break from you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you know somebody and can you relate? Now, I love everybody in my house, but every now and again, I could stand a break from them. You understand what I'm saying? All of the questions that my youngest one asks, Daddy, what does this mean? And Daddy, what is that? And you understand it just when it's not the questions for my youngest one, there were questions for my wife, you know, for my responsibility as a husband. And when it's not the questions for my youngest one and for my wife, then you understand I'm asking questions to my oldest one and to the middle child. What about this? And did you do this? And why did you not do that right there? It seemed to be I can't find the break. And I'm pretty sure they feel like they can't get a break from me and they can't get a break from one another. It just seemed to be that we're frustrating one another because we can't seem to have a break. COVID doesn't necessarily want us to go outside and enjoy nature anymore. Not that I'm just outside in the individual, you got to understand, I go outside at designated moments, you know what I'm saying, when the sun is not down, because I still have a skin complex. You understand what I'm saying? I can't get no darker than I am. You understand what I'm saying? Red is beautiful all day long. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to be red to the day I die. You got to understand. So I go outside at designated times only when I must. Like when the grass is too high, I must go outside and handle that. things like that. Or when the dog has to go, I must go outside. You understand what I'm saying? Don't get me wrong now. I've always understood the science. I would go and get my 15 minutes of sun. I would go and get my vitamin D. That is my natural vitamin D. I would go and sit on the stoop, sit on the stump, sit on the car, the edge of the garage, get my 15 minutes, and that's it. I'm back in the house. I got to go back on the inside. But it's coming to a point where it's like I'm almost banning to go outside or just to be outside. You understand what I'm saying? Well, before that wasn't my thing. You know, I don't want to be bit by the mosquitoes, and I don't want the insects flying around me and all that stuff, and I don't want to smell like outdoors, and I don't want to smell sweat and all this. But because I can't have it, I find myself now fiending for it. You understand? And that's where most of us get in trouble. It's the thing that you can't have, the thing that you desire, that you find yourself trying to go after because you were told that you cannot have it, or something is preventing you from having it, or someone has told you that it's not good for you. You find yourself wanting the thing that you know is not good for you. I wish I had some help in this Sanctify Presbyterian online experience right here. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, you want the thing that you know is not good for you, and you find yourself chasing after that thing. You find yourself thinking about that thing. You find yourself curious about that thing. And if you're not careful, if you think about it too much, too long, too often in the day, you'll find yourself dreaming about that thing. Oh, yes, you will if you're not careful. And most of us, you're not going to talk about the thing that you're curious about, the thing that you're thinking about. You understand what I'm saying? And if you're not careful, that thing will become a straight up problem in your life. Yeah, and you're trying to figure out, how did I get here while trying to go there? Yes, yes. How did I get right here? Well, this thing is a problem. I thought about it one time, or so I thought. You understand? But I'm trying to get over there, but I find myself stuck right here having to deal with this problem right here that I was so curious about, that I was so caught up on, that I was so stuck upon, that I was so infatuated with. You understand? So now it has become a problem. This is all I'm thinking about. I find myself saying the devil is alive when this thought of this thing pops up. Or I find myself saying the blood of Jesus when this thing just comes out of nowhere. You understand what I'm saying? I was thinking about this, and all of a sudden my thought process shifted to this right here. And I had to quickly say the blood of Jesus. But if I'm really being honest, there were some days where, you know, when my thought process quickly shift, I want to see how the thought is going to play itself out. I want to see what the end is going to be. I want to see what the end is going to look like. I want to see what's going to happen to me at the end. I want to see, will I experience a little bit of joy at the end? I want to see, will I win? Will I conquer? Will I have possessed the thing that I know I'm not supposed to have in this thought? You understand? And some of us are living vicariously through these perverted thoughts, or these, you know, ungodly thoughts that we should not have, right? These secret thoughts and secret emotions. We're living secret lives and having these secret exploits in our minds and in our hearts. But truth be told, if you don't catch it, if you don't deal with it, that thing will rise up and become a problem. And this problem will cause you to, you'll find that your praise is slowly fading away. You don't praise God like you used to, but you now give more attention to that secret thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That perverted thing, that false thing, that idolatrous thing. You find yourself giving more attention to that thing right there. Yeah, you're wondering about that thing right there, and you're not even conscious of the fact that God woke you up this morning and God kept you closing your right mind. You're not actually able to think about this perverted thing because he kept you in your right mind. You understand what I'm saying? Instead of giving God praise for keeping you in closing your right mind, that same mind that you're using to think about the perverted thing, we take all of our energy and effort and we focus on the perverted thing rather than giving God praise for keeping us and closing our right mind, causing our praise to just die down, causing our praise to become silent. And the truth be told, it's in these places where you start dealing with the guilt, and start dealing with the shame, and you really don't want anybody to know the things that you've been thinking about and the things that you've been curious about, pondering about, wondering about. You understand what I'm saying? So now it's not just my praise that is in trouble because of this problem, but my unity is in trouble. COVID is already helping me disassociate differentiate myself from everybody else. You understand? See, the truth be told, most of us don't need help isolating ourselves from everybody else. But now that you got an excusable factor, that being COVID, to help you isolate, the truth be told, some of y'all are not going to be real. You're struggling with your Christian life right now, right? Because as much as you wanted to downplay, as much as you wanted to act like it didn't mean anything to you, some of us are still saved today because of the wall or the hedge or the fence that came because of the people of God. I'm going to take you back to a sermon series that we had a while ago. Finding my place in the hood. Come on, sisters, and help me talk about the sisterhood. Come here, brothers, and help me talk about the brotherhood. Oh, yes. When we talk about the church, the sainthood, some of us are still standing. Some of us are still lasting. Some of us have not faded away. Some of us are still yet holding on, because there are some of us that we know that used to be in the fold, but they got out. You understand? Not because nobody pushed them out. They got out because they felt like this was no longer right for them. This is not what they wanted to do. They became bored with this. Oh, y'all not going to talk to me. They became bored with this thing, right? We understand living a life of holiness, a dedicated life, it's a life of tedium. It's a life of monotony. It's every day doing the same thing. You understand what I'm saying? And for some of you, if you're like me, doing the same thing, right? Right? They tell me insanity is doing the same thing, hoping that there's going to be a change. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm not saying this is crazy to do the same thing, because there is change. Every day that I wake up with the intent to be purposeful about disciplining my mind, disciplining my mouth, disciplining my eyes, my ears, this body, this flesh, there was a change that has taken place on the inside, where I'm dying to myself more daily and I'm living more in Christ, where I'm causing this flesh to be shackled, but my spirit man, my soulless man, is now being more liberated in God. You understand what I'm saying? So the thing that I'm saying, if we fail to deal with these problems, we notice that our praise is in trouble. And it's not just our praise that's in trouble, but it's also our unity, us being unified, that is in trouble. Used to be, I didn't mind asking for help. Although I had various ones that I would reach out to, as God was dealing with me, I started reaching out to other people. In other words, I would confess more than just my select few. You understand? Renisha used to be my ear that I would talk to. But I ventured out and I talked to not just Renisha, but I find myself talking to Minister Crystal, and I find myself talking to Prophetess Portion. I find myself talking to Prophetess First Lady, and I find myself talking to Pastor Ivan, and I find myself talking to Pastor Terrence, and I find myself talking to Prophetess Zatara, and I find myself talking to Minister Mark, all of these different things, whereas I just had a select few that I would reach out to and talk to, because I was really trying to check and see how they were going to handle the stuff that I placed in their hands. Yeah, how they were going to handle my business. You understand? Rather than me looking at the fact that I want to be free, my soul is on the line. You can do what you do, whatever business that I put in your hand, but I want to be free. You understand what I'm saying? I don't know why that just keep coming out of my mouth today. You understand what I'm saying? But hopefully you understand what I'm saying. You get it. So you graduated to the point where you branched out and you're now trying to talk to more people, be more liberated. And it's denoting that, okay, I'm more unified. I believe in more people than just these people right here. Thank you, Pastor Kira, for just putting your little response on the wall. I'm so glad that you have graduated from just Pastor Ivan. That's not a hit upside the head, then maybe it is. I don't know, but I'm trying to help somebody. But I know she don't mind me talking about that, because it's a real thing where some of us only just trust our spouses. You understand that they know me, they get me, they understand me. And because they love me, they're not going to just expose me. They're not going to just put my business out there. Well, the truth of the matter is some of your spouses have been guilty of cloaking for you, guilty of covering for you in the wrong nature, not covering you with the blood, but covering you because they don't want you to appear embarrassed or look crazy. No, so some of y'all, you got to let them look crazy, because what I find that shame will change the game for most of us. Oh yeah, you get shame real good. That thing will cause you to, on the inside, to say, you know what, I will never be found in a place like this again. It will cause you to want to change, rise up and want to change. You can know somebody, and can you relate to where you find yourself cloaking folk because of feelings, because of emotions? cultures, because of perspectives, all these different things I'm cloaking, because at the end of the day, I want to have peace in my house, because I tried to correct for real. And when I tried to correct for real, my real correcting ended up with consequences. You understand? When I corrected them, I got a consequence. When I corrected them, I got that, you understand? I didn't get the lingerie. I got the little cotton gown. I got the little raggedy pajama set. You understand? When I tap them on the shoulder, they push my hand away. I got a consequence. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? When you try to do right, and so rather than getting or receiving another consequence, I'm just going to go with the flow. I just quote for you. Because I want you to know I love you. I appreciate you. I adore you. And so what you find out is your unity, not just your marriage, but the unity who God has hooked you up with, the unity begins to suffer. The strength of the hedge, the strength of the wall, the strength of the defense begins to suffer. It becomes weakened, therefore allowing the enemy, if the enemy comes with a for real attack, like we say, one can chase 1,000, two can chase 10,000, right? But if the enemy ever came with the strategy of bringing 1,001, see, that's one more that you can put to flight. And when the two of you come together, if he comes with 10,001, that's one more that you can put to flight. And because the wall, because the fence, because the hedge is weak, because of my unity, that one more that we cannot put to flight could be the one that can bring the most damage, could be the one that can break through. And I want to show you something in scripture. We're going to flip over to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 10, really quickly, right? And I'm going to come back to Judges. So what I want to show you is what I'm talking about. Ecclesiastes, chapter number 10. And we're going to start at verse number 8, right? So Ecclesiastes, chapter number 10, verse number 8 says, he that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. And so looking at part B of the scripture of Ecclesiastes chapter number 10, verse 8, it says, and whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. And so we're talking about this hedge, right? This fence or this wall denoted the defense or the protection, right? Which is speaking to the unification or the unity. When the unity of the sisterhood is broken, when the unity of the brotherhood, or when the unity of the sainthood, the churchhood is broken, what happens? It allows a serpent access to enter in and allows the serpent to bite. Oh, I got to ask you, are you up in arms with your brother, man? Are you up in arms with your sister, woman? Are you up in arms with your brother and sisters in the sainthood? If you're not doing what you're supposed to do, because guess what? We are all members of this one body, different parts. Have you been carrying out your role? Have you been doing what you were called to do? If you are I need you to look. I don't need you trying to talk, because you're not the mouth. You need to see. You need to see what's coming in. You need to be human feet. You should be walking hands. You should be teaching. Instead of you worrying about someone else's role, I need to make sure you're actually carrying out and fulfilling your role, because if you're not doing what you're supposed to do, if you're not on your post, then guess what? It allows access to the enemy, and the enemy doesn't just come in. He comes in with a purpose, and the purpose is to bite, and venom has been loose inside of most bodies. But you're not going to talk to me right there. They're not going to talk to me. I hear Prophet Sitara every day, every Tuesday when we get off and devotion, we say, and Sunday service, we say, listen, in the words of Prophet Sitara, call somebody, check on somebody, text somebody, let somebody know that you're thinking about them, that you love them, that you miss them, right? Well, we can see, because you're not that busy. You understand? Some of y'all are just doing busy work because you're bored at being home because COVID has got you locked on the inside. So you're doing all these random errands. You ain't got that many errands to do. You already went grocery shopping. Stay in the house and stop before the enemy trying to make you get sick. Sit out somewhere. That's what you need to do. And you got time, but you don't want to utilize your time to help strengthen nobody. You want to utilize your time to show that you're in position, honoring what God has called you to do and who God has called want you to be, no, you want to be a busybody just doing everything, but trying to make sure that you are okay, strengthen your household, not just your literal household, but help strengthen the spiritual household that God has called you a part of. It is not just the job of a pastor and the elders. No, it is a body. We all have a role to play. And if you ain't calling to check on nobody, if you ain't calling to text nobody, if you haven't eaten nobody, shame on you. Yes, I'm going to go ahead and say, shame on you. Shame on you. Do you understand? You are strengthened when you check on somebody else. I know you feel like you need somebody to check on you. You feel like you're struggling. You're thinking about quitting. You're thinking about giving up, wanting to give up. But I want to encourage you that when you come outside of yourself and you check on somebody else, it strengthens you. The fact that you are weak, guess what? It strengthens you when you can encourage somebody and say, listen, I understand what you're going through. I can relate. I felt like throwing in a towel too. It's when I confess my vulnerabilities, when I confess my weaknesses, that his strength is made perfect in my weaknesses. And you understand, I am then encouraged, I am then strengthened by checking on somebody else. Shame on you if you have not reached out and checked on nobody else. Shame on you if you have not reached out to call somebody, text somebody. You're not that busy. Are you not? Because the only thing you're doing is scrolling through Facebook all day, just looking cross-eyed when you bring your head up because you've been staring in the blue lights for so long. No, you need to stop. Out of all them hours and hours that you spend Facebook and Instagram and all these other Twitters and all these other social media outlets listening to and reading all the fake news, you could have really gave somebody some real encouragement or some real support. I ain't talking to nobody right there. Because everybody wanted to be about them. You just want somebody to check on you. No, it's a two-way street, baby. You need to check on me, too. Yeah, check on me, too, because guess what? I'm human just like you. And the same Holy Ghost that you feel like is not talking to you some days, I feel like the same Holy Ghost is not talking to me. You understand what I'm saying? I feel like, God, if you don't come help me right now, God, I'm about to lead these people, and the sheep are going to scatter because they ain't going to have no leader, God. You better help me, God. Oh, yes. So I'm telling you the truth. So I want you to see when the hedge is in trouble, what happens? It gives access for the serpent to make his way in and to bite, and it allows venom to flow through the body. And see, for some of us, we got to get that anti-venom. We need a cure for the anti-venom. It's called Jesus. He's the only cure. If you've been bitten, the only cure for the anti-venom, it is called Jesus. He is Jesus. It is the word of God. You need Jesus. And the truth be told, some of y'all are not going to even say the fact that you've been bitten. Now, there were some snakes. Lord, I don't even know why we're talking about this natural thing. But there were some snakes, their fangs are like hypodermic needles to where they can bite you and with precision. It's so quick, you only feel it because of the effects of the venom that's now taking place. It's eroding your flesh and all these, it's doing what it's supposed to do. We know all these neurotoxins and different things that the different venomous snakes possess, different ones can bring about paralysis, different ones can corrode your flesh, it can eat your flesh, all these different things. You only know that after the venom starts taking work, it starts working. Some of us are even unaware to the fact that we've been bitten. It goes to show you're so meticulous and particular about your body, but you didn't give yourself a careful once over when you glanced at yourself and you overlooked the fact that you were bitten. But we see it in your actions. You're not as linked up as you're supposed to be. You're not as linked up as you once were. You don't talk to nobody as much as you used to. You don't reach out to nobody as much as you used to. You, at one point, you let folks know, hey, listen, I'm not going to be at service because such and such. No, you, and what am I saying? You're no longer accountable. I understand you grown, you 20 plus one, but accountability is a good thing, right? And because you're no longer accountable, you're no longer responsible, and that's why the hedge has become weakened, because most of us, we fail to be accountable, which results in us not being responsible for what God has placed in our hands. Oh, the body is in trouble. Snakes have entered in, and snakes have bitten. We have got to change that. Tell your brother, tell your sister, tell your mama, mama, daddy, tell your children, strip in the hedge. No. Come on, let's lock arm in arm. We got to close the gap, close the breaches, close the holes, and we got to strip in this thing back, build it back up. Oh, yes. Let's go back over to the book of Judges. Let's go back over to the book of Judges. And as we talk about in the book of Judges, right, we talked about Ehud, one of the judges whose name meant giving thanks, giving God praise. And his name also meant undivided or united or and simply put, unity. And so this mashup that we're talking about is there was a lack of praise and there was a lack of unity, two dangerous things that could take place. And as we showed you in the book of Ecclesiastes, the book of the preacher, we see what would take place. It allows access for the enemy to actually come and to bite, releasing poisonous venom inside the body or the brotherhood or the sisterhood or the sainthood or the familyhood for that matter. So we drop down to verse number 2. It says, and the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin. Now this is the response of God to the evil that they have found themselves involved in again. And we told you one of the main evils that the children of Israel would consistently find themselves in was this perverted worship, idolatry, where they would go whoring or chasing after other gods. And so God's response to this is, the word says, and the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan. God sold them. This loving God, yes, this loving God loves you with all of his heart, loved you before we ever understood or could even imagine what love was. He loved us before we first loved him, right? Before we ever understood love, before we ever were able to define love, give meaning or definition to the word love, he loved us. But yet this God sold his people into the hand of Jabin, another king of Canaan. And this is one of these people that they failed to drive out, denoting problem. The problem, the thing that you secretly chase after, the thing that you secretly go after, the thing that you secretly have dreams about, lust after. I'm going to give you what you want. Hey, my God. And so you got to be careful when God gives you what you actually want. Because last time I found out, God knows what's best for you. He knows exactly what you need. And the reality, your want does not compare to your need. And the reality, you need God. And he understands, above all things, you need me. And the reality, you think you want these false gods. You think you want to be mixed with this perverted worship. In reality, you're really expressing you want me, but rather than coming to me because you don't want to live the way I say you're supposed to live, a life of holiness and a life of righteousness, you want to go over here where you can be free and be willing and do whatever you want to do. Don't want nobody to say anything to you. Don't want nobody to check you. Don't want nobody to correct you. Don't want nobody to rebuke you. All these things. You just want to be buck wild and do what you want to do. Worship when you want to worship. But I, the Lord, I have set times, I have set feasts where you're supposed to come before me. And you can't come before me any type of way. You can't come before me empty-handed. You must come and bring offering, sacrifice yourself, all these different things. We hate it because he gives us an orderly fashion how we're supposed to approach him. But society tells you, and even in the church, you can go to God how you want. I talk to Jesus because he's my home. Well, you know how some people say he's my home. I'd be like, what up, my dude? What up, Jesus? What? He's the king of the universe. He's the king of the kings. He's the Lord of the Lord. And how dare you approach him like he's some common human being? What up, home? What are you kidding me? But this is how some of us have been trained and told to talk to him. He's your homeboy. You can talk to him. Now, you can talk to him about anything. You can. But you got to remember, he is the king of the universe. He is the king of kings. How is it that you have respect if the president or the queen of England walk in the room? They're going to tell you to stand up, and I guarantee you're going to stand up. How is it that you have more respect for these natural people and these leadership positions, but when the king of these kings and queens come to the room, you refuse to bow down? See, something is wrong with you when you can't bow down to the king of kings. Oh, something is wrong with you. I see a question mark over your head. Something not right. You understand? Don't be offended by what I'm saying. You should love the truth. Because the truth, the word of God comes to challenge us. It comes to convict us. It comes to confront us. But more importantly, it comes to change us from the inside out. There's certain truths I didn't like to hear. Oh, yeah, I didn't like to hear stuff like that. I had no respect for God. I respect the God in my own way. I'm talking about me. I talked to God a certain way at one point. Now, I am glad, though, my people did teach me to have enough respect that, listen, he's God. He is God. Oh, yeah. And I knew I had to approach him a certain kind of way because I just believe, listen, he would just flick me somewhere and I'd be just, hey, you won't ever see me another day of my life and I can't run that risk. So if you need me to come on bending knees, I will come on bending knees. I can do that. If you need me to approach you, Father, our Father, I can do that. If you need to say, Thou art worthy, Lord, I can do that. I just need you to hear me, though. That's all I'm saying. So understand, this loving God, he sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan. The problem, be careful when God gives you what you want. Because you, most of us are at the point where you feel you know what's best for you more than God, the one who created you, the one who knows you, knows what you like. Some of us feel we know better than God. When was the last time you were the infinite one? You were the omniscient one, where you had infinite wisdom, where your wisdom never ran out. You just got wisdom for all the eternity. When did you become the omniscient one? Oh, that was crazy. But that's how some of us act. Like you know better than God what's best for you. Be careful when God gives you what you want. Because to be sold into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, God released them into the hands of the problem. The thing that you failed to deal with, I'm now about to give it. I'm going to hand you over to the thing that you failed to deal with. This thing that you've been chasing, this thing that you say you want, this thing that you lust after, that he-man that you say you lust after, that She-Ra that you say you lust after, there is nobody better. Oh, you don't understand. That She-Ra is the wicked witch. You don't even know. She's the wicked witch. Just waiting, patiently waiting. And she look at you as them little children. What's that witch that ate the little children? Put them in the stove and cooked them? Oh, yeah, she ready to cook you up, homeboy. You don't even have a clue. Because you ain't discerning. Because you just are infatuated with her bumps, curves, and twists and all that. Her locks, her natural curls and all that stuff. But you ain't saw what kind of mouth she got. Oh, I'm about to run in place on y'all right there. You don't know how sharp the words are that comes out of her mouth. You don't understand. Brother, she will cut you a whole new identity. You got to help me somebody up in here. If you don't give that sister what she want, when she want it, baby, she about to rip you a whole new identity and make you feel this big. Oh, yeah, because they know what to say to us. Yes, they do. They know what to say to us. They know how to build us up, and they most certainly know how to tear us down. Yes, yes, they do. I know you think you cocky and you strong, baby, mess around and mess with a woman. Oh, and she will rip you a new identity. Yes, she will. No, don't do that. You're supposed to help me. Help me. Oh, yes, help me. That's for those of us that are married. Help me meet my destiny. Help me help you meet your destiny. Help us meet our destiny. You are my help me. Help me. Don't rip me. Help me. Don't cut me. Help me. Love me. Support me. Encourage me. Build me. Strengthen me. Hedge me and pray for me. Worship with me. Pray with me. Pray for me. Worship with me. Praise with me. Thank God for me. Oh, yeah. Thank God for me. I know even when I act the slam fool, thank God for me. God, this is the man you gave me, God. Oh, he going to be who you said. He going to do what you said. Thank you for this mighty man, the valor. Thank you for this mighty man, the God. Thank you for this anointed man of God. Yeah. But don't stop that man of God. You got to pray for her. Thank you for this anointed woman. Thank you for this true intercessor. Thank you for this bona fide praiser. Thank you for this true worship of God. Thank you for this woman that understands me. Thank you for this woman that loves me. Thank you for this woman that is patient with me. Thank you for this woman that helps me. Thank you for this woman that's sticking and staying with me, God, when she should have been left. I'm going to be honest, God, she should have been left, God, because I don't act in a slam fool. I done messed up for a whole many a day, God, but she's still here, God. Thank you for this woman that knows how to stay planted like the tree by the rivers of living water. Thank you for this woman that bends and not breaks in the midst of struggles. Thank
you, God, for that woman, right? Oh, my God. My God. Yes, yes, yes. We're talking about the queen. Yeah, get back to the title. We're talking about the queen bee. Yes, I am. Oh, we're talking about the queen bee. So you better be careful before God gives you what you actually think you want. It says, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Oh, now see, I can relate to these children of Israel. When you get yourself in trouble, you better thank God you still know how to cry. Ooh, my God. And see, some of y'all are trying to be strong, and you're trying to be mighty, and you don't want nobody to know that you have moments where you weak and you get soft. But I'm going to let you know, baby, when it comes to God, and when I get myself in trouble, I'm not talking about when nobody else got me. When I get myself in trouble, I thank God that I still know how to cry. Oh, Daddy, I thank God I still know how to cry. Father, I thank God I still know how to cry. Help me, God. I thank God that I still know how to cry. But not only that, I'm so grateful that God hears my cry. It said, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron. Now, this King Jabin had 900 chariots of iron. It denoted that he's a bad somebody right now, right? And because they don't have designated leaders, because of the elders that died up, God is now utilizing judges to bring judgment, where they're deciding laws and deciding cases and dealing with controversy, and they're establishing laws amongst the children of Israel, right? And God uses these judges to actually deliver them out of the hands of their oppressors. And at this particular point, we come up in chapter number 4 of the book of Judges, talking about judges in and of itself, and we got a woman on the scene. My God. And we are so confused that a woman can't do the job. Oh, yes, she can. The truth of the matter is the woman can do the job better than some of you men could do the job. This might be the reset that our country needs. Hey, we might need a woman at the helm. You understand what I'm saying? I ain't trying to push nobody. I ain't trying to give you the leads to believe that I'm with no Democratic Party. No. I'm just saying, women are true multitaskers. I don't know how you can be in contraction pains, you know what I'm saying? Dealing with that pain, pushing at the same time, holding on to the bed, not falling out the bed, able to look at me at the side eye and let me know you in all kind of pain. Squeeze my hand, squeeze the bed. Oh, you are the real multitasker. Don't get it twisted. They multitask better than us men. So we got to give them the props. We got to give them the due. The women are bad individuals. Oh, yeah. They're built better. They can handle stuff. They can take stuff better than us men. The truth be told, they bounce back better than we do. Man, I'm just trying to tell you, all you got to do is look at the relationship aspect. They know I'm hurting, but I'm going to talk to my homegirl about this. I'm going to talk to my sister about how bad he did me and how he cheated. And they know how to recover quickly, where you pretend to act like you A-OK. But the truth of the matter, man, you got emotions. Man, you got feelings. They call them he-motions. Thank you, Pastor T.D. Jakes. They call them he-motions, and you're not dealing with them. And so that's why it's difficult for you to move on, and you carry this baggage into different relationships, acting like you are okay. No, they bounce back quicker, and they bounce back better than us because they are equipped for stuff like this. They've been made to carry, and they've been made to push, and they've been made to deliver, and they've been made to push things out. You got to understand, baby, how their bodies are designed. They're designed to bounce back quicker. See, all you got to do is look at a woman who had a child, baby. They quickly bounce back. Bodies bounce back. While they're even some may have to exercise for a short amount of time, but they bounce back. You ought to give that woman that's in your life props. You ought to encourage her. You a bad somebody. Yeah, I like how you bounce back. When the enemy came in and I was down as a man and I was confused and I wanted to give her, oh, baby, it was your hand of comfort. Rub it on my back, telling me, baby, we gonna come through this. You helped us bounce back. When I didn't know what to do, God put the answer in your mouth and you gave us what we needed to do. You helped us bounce back. See, you ought to encourage that woman. When there was no kindness, she said, baby, we got to pray. We got to trust God. We know God has never failed us. She taught us how to bounce back. You ought to bless God for the queen bee that is in your life. Oh, she knew how to judge situations when you as a man was just looking at it from one angle. She done ran around that thing 15 times and saw from different 15 angles when you just sit from one angle. She said, no, baby, that ain't it. That ain't it. You, man, what am I really trying to say? You have got to come to a where you give your wife or the woman in your life an opportunity to be heard by you. Stop thinking you know everything because you don't. You ain't that intelligent. The truth of the matter is, it's a debate going on right now whether or not women are smarter than men. Now, me, because of who I am, I tend to lean the other way. I ain't going to say most women are smarter than me, but if I'm being honest, because they use about 10,000 more words than we use in the course of a day, it's indication that they might just be a little bit more smarter than you. The truth be told, they know how to talk their way into some stuff, and they show them how to talk their way out of some stuff. All you got to do is listen to them. Give them an opportunity to be heard, and you'll see just how much wisdom they possess. But you, because you are so fickle in your self-esteem, your self-worth, you feel like, okay, if you don't have the answer because she gives the answer, that you're not the man of God. No, you're still the man of God. You're just the man of God who didn't have the answer. You're the man of God that had to get the answer from her. That does not take away from who you are if y'all are one. It doesn't take away from who you are. Y'all are one, two bodies that became one flesh. She just had the answer today, whereas God may give you the answer tomorrow. What I'm trying to say is open up and hear her. There was a wisdom that she has where she can teach you how to bounce back. Oh, yeah, bounce back. I'm talking about when LeBron James went back to Cleveland and Cleveland bounced back and won the championship. Oh, y'all not going to talk to me? She knows how to bounce back like that when all the haters are against her. She still knows how to bounce back when her back is up against the wall. She knows how to bounce back when they don't choose me. Guess what? He's still choosing. She knows how to bounce back. You ought to sit at her feet some days and learn from her. I know, but you, being who you are, so full of yourself, you can't see yourself sitting at her feet. You can't see yourself being taught by her. Then maybe you're not as further as long as you should be because you failed to hear some of the instruction that she could give you. It don't take away from who you are. God didn't create you to know everything. That's why we're ever learning. Yeah, that's why we're coming into the knowledge. Yeah, that's why we're knowing one another. And she recognizes that you don't know it, but she has not torn you apart like she could, like she has the right to, because she's watched you fail in this area 15,000 times, and she still has not drugged you. She still stood next to you and supported you and held your hand and said, baby, it's going to be all right. That's a powerful woman. You ought to thank God for her. You ought to thank God for her. Yes, 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 yes. So this guy's a bad. He said, and the children has cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 treads of iron, denoting that he's a bad boy. And it says, in 20 years, he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. When God gave them what they wanted, they were mightily oppressed for 20 years. 20 years. 20 years of oppression. That's enough to drive you insane. That's enough to make you want to kill somebody. You understand? That's enough to make you want to rebel. That's enough to make you want to act the slam fool. Yes, that's enough to make you want to throw in the towel and believe that things will never change. Oh, but they never forgot that they cried out to God. And it says, and Deborah, look at this woman whose name means bee, hence the title Queen Bee. She's the original Queen Bee. And like we initially started up, I know some of y'all supposed to be Christian. You claim to be Christian, but yet you still listen to Beyonce. That's your girl. That's your girl. Like, you know, Lemonade and all my single ladies and all that stuff. See, I don't know. I just know what I saw on TV when I'm watching TV, and they get little different things, you know, Lemonade and Lemonade Praise and all these different things. But that's your girl. You understand? I'm not denying that she's not a bad somebody. The girl can sing. She can sing a tell off. She can sing. She's just doing it for the wrong kingdom, for the wrong God, right? So you ought to pray for her. That's what you should be doing. You ought to pray for her, right? Instead of you bouncing to her music. Because she told you she has an alter ego. She's telling you, I'm demonically possessed. When Sasha Fierce come for her, she's telling you, I am demonically possessed. There is another entity working on the inside of me. She's telling you, but yeah, this is your girl. Oh, my God. Instead of you hearing what's being said, people are always, Pastor Terrence told us, people are being who they always were. She's telling you, there is something on the inside of me that comes for it that allows me to perform in this man, and that's still your girl? What? You should be praying for her. Yeah, but we should have selective hearing. We hear what we want to hear because she makes good music. Michael Jackson made good music. Yes, he did. But I ain't going to fool myself and act like he was not under the influence of demonic forces, because how can you go and not sleep for consecutive days and come out and produce this type of music? Demonic influence. Yeah, I know you're not going to say it, but I'm going to say it for you. He was my dude. Oh, yes, Mike was my dude. I put him up against Prince. I put him up against NC Hammer. Yes, I will. He was my dude. Come on. I am starting something. Yes, I am. I'm starting something. Yes, yes. So let's get back to the word. And he said, and Deborah, whose name means bee, the original queen bee. She's a prophetess. Look at the roles and look at the hats that she's swear me, she's a prophetess, but she's also a wife and she's a judge. So she's operating as a prophetess, having to operate as a wife and operate as a judge all at the same time. We're talking about this mashup, this many different roles and many different hats that we have now been forced to wear. And I kind of gave y'all an example about my own life. When I had to send my oldest child to private school at home schooling, in order to do that, I had to actually open up a private school. It's called Nelson Academy. I am the principal of the school. Now, I don't necessarily always operate as the principal. I just walk around with my walkie-talkie, which is my phone. You understand? And I just pop my head in the classroom. Hey, how you doing? You all right? Okay. And I walk out the classroom and I go handle some other stuff around the Nelson Academy. You understand what I'm saying? But I since found myself not just being the principal, but I'm still the pastor. It's still looked upon to be the prophet. I'm still looked upon to be the husband. I'm still looked upon to be the father. But I'm also now not just a principal, but I'm guidance counselor at that. I'm having to counsel my children because all three of my children are now being homeschooled. You understand what I'm saying? So now I'm having to wear multiple hats or walk in many roles at the same time due to the COVID on the outside. You understand what I'm saying? I am a gym teacher now. You understand? I've had to buy exercise equipment to my upstairs loft, which was my man cave. You understand? My man cave, my Scarface with the white leather cave, I've had to turn it into a gym. You understand? I've had to buy equipment so that we can exercise so that the coronavirus won't put no corona weight on us. You understand what I'm saying? We can't be in here just getting chubby while we just sitting around the house watching each other and we eat all the food up in the house, looking at each other getting mad because you wanted that last piece or you wanted that last hot pocket and somebody got to it first, or you wanted that last Sprite and somebody got to it first. No, the devil is a lie. We need to go exercise. Let's get out the house and take a walk, do something, but we can't keep sitting in here putting on no corona weight. So look at all these roles I'm having to walk in. But the girl is a bad somebody. She's able to multitask and multitask well. She's able to be the prophetess, meaning being the voice of God, the oracle of God, speaking the oracles of God, speaking the decrees of God, speaking the holy utterances of God into the earth. And not only that, she still has time. She makes time. Although God has called her, she knows she's called by God, doing ministry well, I might add, but she still makes time to take care of the home. Like, come in, man of God, let me make sure you empty. I love it, I love it, I love it. Come in, man of God, let me take care of you. Oh, so you ain't got to go out here lusting, because guess what? I'm about to put it on you. I'm about to break you down. Yes, I thank God. Oh, I can imagine laughing and saying, I need a freak in the morning and a freak at night. You understand? But just be holy when you leave the house. But y'all ain't gonna, I know y'all too religious and y'all too say to talk like that. You understand what I'm saying? I live it all day long. She made time to make sure that she was a wife to laugh at her. Yes, she did. I'm going to take care of the man of God. With all of my responsibilities I have, with all the things that are on my plate, guess what? I'm still going to make sure that when I do my schedule, I'm going to do it in pencil. So anything, it's not instant stone. I can erase and make time for you. Man of God, I was getting ready to go to the store, but you say you need me? Okay. I can erase going to the store right now and give you that time. Oh, yes, I love it. I love it. She still made time to be a wife while speaking in the class. What thus saith the Lord. Not only that, she had time to be a judge. Yeah. The Bible talks about she judged Israel at that time. Yes, she judged Israel at that time. So when you think about her being this judge, she was one of the ones that God would use to deliver the nation or the people out of the hand of its oppressors. And she gave instruction to Barak. Said the Lord told you to go, he will be with you and he will deliver your enemy into your hands. But Barak's response was, I will not go unless you talk to the woman, Deborah, unless you go with me. Not Lapidus, unless you, Deborah, go with me. Now, isn't that crazy? When you ever saw a woman in battle, anytime the people went out to battle, it was the men, the women, and the children stayed back home. But this man had enough sense to say, I will not go to battle unless I have the voice of the Lord, that being Deborah, as the prophetess to accompany me into battle.
Oh, yes. Give us instruction what to do. Tell us how to set the battle in array. Tell us how to strategically place ourselves on the battlefield. Tell us what the strategy is. Tell us how we're supposed to defeat the enemy. Give us the play-by-play instruction, step-by-step. What are we supposed to do so we don't miss a beat? And if you know anything in the natural about bumblebees or honeybees, they have a systematic lifestyle. They move. Matter of fact, I wrote these things down right here. They have orderly motion. They move with order.
You understand? Nothing is ever done just to be done. And when you understand nature, what my baby called this thing? These pollinators, that's the word. These pollinators, they actually do more for you than we may even realize what these pollinators do. Some of the flowers and some of the fruits and vegetables that we're able to partake of, it would not be so if it had not been for these bees, these pollinators, right? Something so small but has a significant job in the earth realm. They have orderly motion. They move in order. And not only that, they have systematic instinct, right? So they do things in an orderly fashion, but not only that, they have the instinct to know what to do. Oh my God. And look what God has placed on the scene, a woman in the midst of an area that typically belonged to men in the battle. I'm gonna place a woman. Yeah, okay. You're talking about this right here, this bomb right here. I'm about to hit you over the head because I'm about to change it up and I'm about to throw a woman on the scene, something that you're not used to. Oh, she's about to be the different factor. She's about to be the reason why we can't fail. She's about to be the reason why we have to win. A win is a guarantee because she has heard God. And not just hearing God, she has told us what we must do in order for us to have victory. Yeah, I like how God, he just turned it up on his head, turned it upside down, and he dropped a woman in the midst of a battle, right? That being Deborah. She had systematic instincts. She knew what to do. She heard God and followed the instruction of God. Oh yeah, so it says, and Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lebanon, she judged Israel at that time. And as we move into our final scripture, says, and she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah. Now, if you can see the imagery of this right here, she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah, meaning hill, and Bethel, meaning house of God. But she dwelt under a palm tree. The image here is she's sitting upon her throne. Hence the term queen bee. seated ready to be judged. Seated ready to be queen. Seated ready to give instructions. Seated ready. Oh, baby, give me 1 second. Let me decide this case right here, and I'll be with you in a second. Oh, boo. Just give me 1 minute. I'm about to come and take care of you, Lapida. Don't worry. I'm coming, and I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it well. Huh? But at the same time, she judged Israel. So it says that she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah. Of every throne is named after her, is inscribed after her, Deborah, the place of the bee, the throne of the bee. You got to understand, she deserved this because of her acts, because of her willingness to hear God. Not just that, but to go against the norm and rise up in a male-dominated society. Society, rise up as the woman who God called her to be unapologetically, without fear, and speak and declare what thus said the Lord, right? To the men, not just to any man, but to the warring men. She gave the instruction on how to be victorious. So she was worthy of having her throne. So that she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel and Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. See, this is the thing. She proved that she was worthy of the title prophetess. And if you ask Lapidus, I'm pretty sure he would say, oh no, she's my wife. She's worthy to be called wife, somebody's wife. Matter of fact, the wife of Lapidus. But now the children of Israel are also showing that she's worthy to be called or wear the title of judge, talking about the mashup of this woman's life. But it was good. Taking the elements of her being a prophet, taking the elements of her being a judge, and taking the elements of her being a wife, taking all of these experiences and now hearing God and able to bring direction and able to give understanding and able to give instruction by the mouth of God to warn men that they would be victorious because they allowed the problem to still abide. But she had the word from God to know how to deal with the problem that you caused. Because the reality of the children of Israel, they caused this. And see, man, children of the women, there are some women that God has put the instruction in their mouth to give you the ability to deal with the problem that you caused. You're the reason why that he keeps calling. But see, if you go and talk to some women, they'll say, change your phone number.
Oh, but you don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear that instruction right there. No, no, no. You created this problem, and you want to talk about how you so tired of him calling. You feel like he's stalking you or this and that. But the instruction of a woman of God will be to change your phone number. You won't do that, though. Now, I can see everybody else know my number. And I don't want to go through all that. Well, keep dealing with the problem that you did it with then. Keep dealing with your stalking. Because you don't want no change. Because what we understand, change is very uncomfortable. But before I finish the sentence, I must add, but it's necessary. If you're going to be free of your problem, then guess what? You're going to have to deal with the uncomfortability of your problem and make uncomfortable decisions. Or simply put, like we said earlier in the message, for some of us, the problem has become easy to live with rather than deal with it head on. It's easy to just live with. The devil is a lie. I can't live with certain problems. I cannot live with certain problems. I can't live with. The only problem that I'm okay with is the ones that are going to turn me into a millionaire or a billionaire. Because everybody that's a millionaire or a billionaire is because they've solved some type of problem in this world. And the only type of problems I'm okay with. If it's going to lead me to the place of having astronomical wealth, I'm only okay with those problems right there. But these other problems that I'm not getting paid for, oh, devil, you a lie. I rebuke you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I do. And I'm going to have to make some uncomfortable changes, uncomfortable decisions in order to deal with you, because I get it. Some of these problems are because of me. Me, myself, and I. That natural trinity. But I'm going to rise up and deal with it in Jesus' name. So we want you to see, as we talk about the mashup, I want you to be prepared, and I'm going to remind you, this sermon service is not going to just be about the different things that we talk about in the collision of life, how COVID is causing things to collide at the home front, forcing us to wear many different hats and operate in many different roles at the same time. But we're also talking about the mashup in regards to we're taking different elements and combining them. We will be taking the voices and the anointings of other people, and they will come. They're going to preach. They're going to teach to help us talk about the mashup. And I want you to be open when different people besides myself come before you, amen, or Pastor Terrence or Pastor Ivan, and they come before you. I want you to be open to hear what God will have these people to speak to you. And we got to get over having our favorites. And so what if they yell? I do a lot of yelling. You ain't said nothing. I'm just saying, we're going to stop this, because in the midst of yelling, they got something to say. Because I know I had something to say. Out of all the yelling that I did up here, I know I had something to say. I've come to the conclusion. I'm a yeller. Yes, I am. I'm a yeller. I didn't believe it at first, but I'm a yeller. I yell pretty much almost everything I say is a yell, because I feel like folks don't be hearing me. And I want to be heard. I'm just saying, yeah, I want to make sure you heard me. You yell too. We just don't have the opportunity to hear you yell. Oh, but if we had the opportunity to talk to your children, they'd be like, my mama yell all the time. Oh, my mama not. And she answered the phone. Hello? Oh, yeah. You answer the phone yelling. So stop playing with us. When you hang up, bye, child, you yell. Stop it. You yell across home row key with all them exclamation marks. That's proof that you yell. You yell even in your typing. Stop it. When you put all caps, that's proof that you yell. Stop it. So we're not going to be acting funny with folk. No, hear what has to be said. Get past that yelling and hear what's being said. You can do that because you're a yeller yourself. You can identify with us yelling. Stop letting the devil trick you and hear what's being said in Jesus' name. I know you don't like that, but I can't ruffle your feathers. Yeah, yes, I did. I know you want me to stop pushing, but I'm not. I'm a pusher in the realm of the spirit. I'm one to push you to be better. I want to push you to change. Yes, I am. I'm going to push you to live holy. I'm going to push you to live a righteous life before God. Yeah, I'm going to push you. So stop asking me and stop thinking that he need to stop. No, I'm going to keep on pushing till you upchuck that devil, till you tell the truth about who you are, till you man and woman up there take out and walk in responsibility and receive accountability and walk in accountability. I'm going to keep on pushing you. Sure am. If you don't want to be pushed, then go find one of them freak-a-silly church. Them freak-a-friendly. I said it all wrong. Jesus, help me. Then go find one of them seeker
Hispanic churches. Now, how about that, devil? I got it right. If you don't want to be pushed, because we ain't about to overlook your sin. We ain't about to overlook your mess, because guess what? If mine can't be overlooked, yours ain't about to be overlooked, because it's unto Jesus the Christ. We're going to live right. Because like the old folks say, holiness is still right. Yes. I pray that the word of God has blessed you on this morning. I pray that you were able to receive and get something from it. As we have talked about Queen Bee and the first endorsement or the first installment of the Mashup series, I believe God is going to do great things.